Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing on this wonderful Sunday morning? Are we good? Great. Well, that's off to a great start. I'm just going to move this in front because otherwise I'm going to trip over something. You know me, I like to move around. Well, it's great to see you on this wonderful Sunday morning. And if we haven't met before, my name is Sidara and I have the privilege of being on staff here at The Rocks. And I also have the privilege this morning of talking to you for the next little while. Now, I haven't been up here yet this year, so I want to take this opportunity to wish all of you a very, very happy new year. It's only the second Sunday of January, so I feel like it's still early enough in the new year. A new year's wish still counts. And can you believe that we're in 2020? Like, it's a whole new decade, which is incredible to me. I'm not quite sure how we got here, but we have. But I hope it's off to a really great start for you. Now, as John mentioned before, today we're continuing a series that John himself actually started last week. And we're kicking off this new year, this brand new decade, talking about the topic of how we can take responsibility for our lives. And I feel like that's such an important thing to talk about. And I love that we're tackling it right at the start of this new year. And hey, if you're here this morning and if you're not a Christian here today, well, listen, we're so glad that you're here. You're so welcome with us. And what we're believing is that regardless of who you are, what you believe, that this series is going to bless you, it's going to encourage you, and it's going to help you to live the life that you have been given in the best way possible. And our belief is that today, as we talk about a principle that I'm going to talk about, that we're going to understand a little bit more about what it means to take responsibility and how, in fact, we can take more of it in our lives this year. So if that sounds appealing to you, why don't you bow your heads and join me as we pray together as we kick off. Father God, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, God, that you are here, that you have a word that you want to speak to us right at the start of this new year. And God, we thank you for the gift of life that you have given us. Thank you that each new day, each new year, each new decade is an opportunity to live life that glorifies you, to exalt the name of Jesus high. And Father, as we come before you today, as we come to hear your word, would you open up our hearts, God, to hear the words that you have designed for us, to hear the words that are going to take deep root in our hearts, that we'll leave this place knowing that you have called us to live a life that is higher and better than we could have ever possibly imagined. So, Father, we pray that you have your way. We give this time into your hands. And everyone who agrees with me, say together, amen. Amen. Amazing. Well, some of you will know that my husband, Dev, and I, we went to Sri Lanka for Christmas. We were over there for Christmas and for New Year, and we got back about a week ago, and to be honest, we're still recovering because Sri Lanka is amazing, but perhaps you're here and you don't live in the same country as your family, but you know that when you go back home, it is jam-packed from the time you land. You're seeing people, you're saying hi to relatives, you're catching up with friends, and it's amazing, but it's also exhausting. And so we're kind of still recovering. We kind of need another holiday from the holiday that we just had. But that's a different story. But Sri Lanka is always amazing. And the best thing about Sri Lanka is the people. It's always the people. It's always the time that you get to spend with your family, time that you get to spend with your friends. And I think there's a picture. There we are. That's a picture of my family. They live in Sri Lanka. That's my immediate family. And that's a picture of us on Christmas Day, which also happens to be my mom's birthday. So Renuka, there she is in the middle. She turned 64 years old last year. She looks pretty good for a 64-year-old, doesn't she? Yeah, I hope I inherit those genes. Thank you very much. But it's always awesome to catch up with friends and to spend time with the people that you love that you don't get to spend time with all that often. So that's always the best thing about Sri Lanka. But the second best thing about Sri Lanka is always this. It's always the food. Now, I had to bring you some pictures. These are actual pictures that I took on the holiday in the last 2 weeks because I wanted to tell you about how much of a food paradise Sri Lanka is. And we have some dishes that are only unique to Sri Lanka, so it's really hard to describe them in any other way. For example, this right here, this is a picture of milk rice, and it's actually rice that's cooked in coconut milk, and you have it with this like amazing chili sambal and some curry, and you eat it for breakfast. I know some of you find it weird to eat curry for breakfast, but it's actually amazing. Over there, top right-hand corner, my right, your left, that's a lumpray, and that's pretty much rice and like different bits of veg and meat that's wrapped in a banana leaf, and they bake it so all the flavors infuse together, and it comes out, and it's delicious. And over here, these weird-looking things here, they're called hoppers. Now, it's very difficult to describe a hopper, but the best way I can describe it is it's like a crisp pancake. They cook it in like this mini little wok, and it comes out really crisp, and there's like a cooked egg in the middle, and you like break off pieces of it, and you dip it into this drippy egg, and you have it with curry, and oh, it is actually insane. It's so good. And in the middle here, this is my mom's chocolate biscuit pudding. It's a Sri Lankan classic, and it's an art form, and she makes it like no one else makes it. Do you know what the truth is? I actually spent more time trying to fit pictures on this slide than I did my whole message. I was like, I need to tell you how incredible all this food is. And for anyone who follows me on Instagram, you will know that this is only a quarter of the things that we ate in the last 2 weeks. Angel is nodding. She knows what's true. And we had so much glorious food, and it was so great. And then I came back after 2 weeks, and you know what I did? I stepped on the weighing scale. Oh, yeah. That was a mistake. But you know what? I thought, hey, I worked out pretty much every day that we were away. Bar 3 days, I worked out every day. And listen, I indulged, but I didn't indulge all that much. It can't be that bad. People, 5 kilos. I know, I gained 5 kilos in 2 weeks. And I was like, what? That can't be possible. It's not right. I was angry. I was shocked. I was like, Dev, our weighing scale is broken. Dev, go get me a new weighing scale. Got me a new weighing scale. Still 5 kilos. Nothing changed. I was so annoyed. And in the middle of my indignation, I kind of had this voice. I heard this voice in my head. And it was the voice of Rohan, who is my personal trainer. And in a very, very calm voice, it said this: calories in, kilos out. Calories in, kilos out. And when you think about it like that, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, where did I think all of this was gonna go? Where did I think it was gonna end up? Calories in, kilos out. Actions in, consequences out. What you sow is also what you reap. And that's a principle of how the world works. You see, God has instilled certain laws and certain principles in our world that follow certain guidelines, and He hasn't hidden them from us. And the principle that we're talking about this morning, the principle of sowing and reaping, is actually made really clear to us by a man named Paul. Paul, he kind of wrote half the New Testament. And in Galatians 6, verse 7, he says this. He says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. In other words, what he's saying is what you plant is also what you harvest. What he's saying is what you put in is also what you will get out. And for the people that he was writing to, there was no ambiguity, there was no discussion at the time, because this is also how agriculture works. If you want a harvest of lemons, you plant what? Lemon seeds. No one plants lemon seeds and is shocked and angry when oranges don't come out. If you wanted to do oranges, you would have planted orange seeds. What you sow is also what you reap. And yet, so many of us, as we look around our lives sometimes, in certain areas of our lives, we have the same reaction that I did when I stepped on the scale after 2 weeks away. We get shocked, we get angry, we get disappointed, we get frustrated, we are indignant about some of the results that we see in our lives. Perhaps as we look at our bank balances, or we look at our health, or we look at our relationships, or the state of our marriage. We get shocked, we get angry. As John said, sometimes we blame other people. Sometimes we blame God for the results that we're seeing. All the while, what we're not understanding is it's the principle of sowing and reaping that's at work. The results that we see are an inevitable consequence of the actions that we put in. Now, let me say this. Sometimes things happen in our lives that we have no control over. We can't do anything about those things. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the areas of our lives that we know that we have been sowing seeds, and that's why we're reaping what we're reaping. But here's the good news. The good news is at the start of 2020, if there are certain areas of our lives that we're not happy with, if there are certain areas of our lives that we're not happy with the fruit that we're seeing, the good news is that we can change it by starting to sow differently. And as we sow differently, we can expect that we will also reap differently. Now, last week, I magnanimously lent John the book of Genesis, but this week, I also want to head back to the book of Genesis, and I want to talk to you about this principle of sowing and reaping and show us all, actually, that it's been in effect since the very beginning of creation. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible here, Genesis is the very first book of the Bible, and it tells us about how everything began. The book of Genesis, it tells us how God created the whole world, everything that we see, the birds in the air, the beasts on the land, the sun, the sky, the earth, the moon, the stars. He creates everything. And then he creates this Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden, it was perfect. It was paradise. It was amazing. And then he creates human beings. He creates the first humans, Adam and Eve. And he gives them dominion over everything that he created. They were the pinnacle of his creation. And as John told us last week, he gives them responsibility over the Garden of Eden. And as he said last week, where there's lots of responsibility, where people take responsibility, there really need to be very few rules. And in fact, in the Garden of Eden, there was only one rule. And the rule was this, that Adam and Eve, they were free to eat from any fruit of any tree in the garden apart from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of that tree, of that fruit, they were not to touch it. They were not to partake of it. And for those of us who are familiar with the story, we know what happens. We know that as they're living in this perfect paradise, in this Garden of Eden, the serpent comes and he has a conversation with Eve and he starts asking Eve some questions. In Genesis chapter 3, it says this. He says, he said to the woman, this is the serpent, he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but yes, God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Oh, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. This morning, I want to talk to you about three things from this story that has to do with the principle of sowing and reaping. Here's the first one. Number one, the seed is your responsibility. The seed is your responsibility. Now, I know nothing about gardening. In fact, I've actually killed a few cactuses over my time. But I do know that in agriculture, climate conditions are really important when it comes to growing seeds. It's really important to have the right temperature. It's really important to have the right air, wind flowing. Wind, it's right. Important to have the rain. It's important to have the right conditions of the sun. These things matter when it comes to growing seeds into plants. But you see, it's also true that there are some seeds that are so viable that they grow even in the harshest conditions. See, this is a picture of the seed. It's a magnified image of the Dorcas carota seed, which apparently is a wild relative of the carrot. And last year, in 2019, there were a group of experts at the Royal Botanical Gardens in London, and they identified that this Dorcas carota seed is actually one of the most resistant seeds to climate change. And they found that this seed actually was so resilient, was so tough, that it was resilient to drought, it was resilient to diseases, and actually it grew even in the harshest of conditions, even in the changing climate conditions that we're experiencing right now. This seed, it didn't need the perfect climate. It didn't need the perfect conditions in order to grow. You see, for some of us here, we're waiting for the perfect conditions to come along to start sowing the seeds that we want to sow. We say, when I move jobs and I get a boss who's actually interested in my work, then I will start sowing seeds of integrity in my work. We say, actually, when my bank balance, when it reaches a healthy limit, oh, well, then I will start sowing seeds of generosity. Oh, actually, when my spouse, when he apologizes, when she says sorry, then I will start sowing seeds of grace and of love and forgiveness in my marriage. When the conditions are perfect, then I will start sowing the seeds. But here's the truth. Chances are, if you're not sowing now, you won't be sowing then, even when the conditions are perfect. Take Adam and Eve. They were in paradise. They were in a garden that had the most perfect conditions, the most perfect climate. Whatever they planted would have grown into something extraordinary. It would have flowered, it would have bloomed into something spectacular. And yet, despite these perfect conditions, not just physically, but also spiritually, because they had the perfect conditions spiritually. Why? Because they were in perfect communion with God. The Bible says that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. That's how close to God they were. They had perfect communion with Him. They had perfect harmony with Him, perfect relationship with God. And yet, despite these perfect conditions, despite this perfect climate, when it came down to it, what did they choose to sow? They chose to sow a seed of sin. Some of us are waiting for the wind to be right, for the sun to be at the right level, for the right level of rain to fall. And we think, when this happens, or when I get there, or when this comes through, then I will start sowing the right seeds. But the truth is that you and I, we have a choice right here, right now, as to the kind of seeds we want to sow in our lives. And it has nothing to do with our conditions, with the situations, with the circumstance, but it has everything to do with our character. You see, sowing doesn't depend on the climate around you. Sowing depends on the character on the inside of you. See, God is most concerned with who you are becoming. His goal for your life is that you would become more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us that we are being transformed from glory to glory into ever-increasing likeness to the image of Jesus Christ. And so often, sometimes, who you are becoming on the inside as you sow is more important to God than what you reap on the outside. Who you are becoming as you sow grace, as you sow love, as you sow integrity, as you sow kindness, that is more important to God than what you reap on the outside. Every single area of our life, every single decision that we make is a choice, is an opportunity for us to sow seed. We get a choice. We get a seed to sow. And this morning, as you look around your life, as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a mother, as a business owner, as a student, as a son, as a daughter, as a grandmother, as a grandfather, whatever that may be, wherever in your life, you find that you don't like the fruit, you can change the seed. If you don't like the fruit, change the seed. The seed is your responsibility. The seed is my responsibility, regardless of the climate. See, I believe this morning that you and I, at the start of 2020, we can make a decision that we're going to sow Dorcas Carotta-like seeds of love, of grace, of forgiveness, of hope, so that they will flourish and bloom and grow even in the harshest conditions, even when the circumstances aren't perfect, even when the situation isn't right. The seed is your responsibility. Here's my second point. Now, you need to pay attention to this because this is my most mind-blowing point of all. The seed grows into a tree. But you didn't know that before you came to church this morning. The seed grows into a tree. But track with me, because this is something that not many people know about the principle of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping actually has a multiplication effect. Sowing and reaping has a multiplication effect. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, their one act of disobedience, it had an impact for all of humanity. Paul tells us in Romans 5, verse 12, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for through Adam, everyone sinned. Remember when John said last week that irresponsibility has an impact on everyone? Well, this is a case in point. Sowing and reaping has a multiplication effect. When you plant a seed, what does it turn into? It turns into a tree. It gets bigger, it gets greater. There's a multiplication effect. You see, some people, they look at this story of Adam and Eve and they say, well, isn't this a bit much? I mean, Adam and Eve, they only did one thing wrong. There was only one act of disobedience. There was only one seed of sin. But what do seeds do? They turn into trees. They get bigger. They get greater. They multiply. And so now Adam and Eve's, their one act of disobedience, their one seed of sin, it has an impact, it has an effect on all of humanity. Their one act of sin affects all of us. Some of us here, perhaps, we look at our lives and see, hey, well, you know, I only did this one thing. I don't deserve to have ended up here. How did this happen? How have I ended up in this place? But what we didn't understand is when you sow, you reap greater than what you sow. Sowing and reaping has a multiplication effect. But here's the good news. It also works the other way. The principle is still true. If you want to see love in your life, sow a seed of love. It'll multiply. If you want to see grace in your life, sow seeds of grace. It will multiply. Whatever you sow will multiply. So sow in a way that multiplies the best in your life and not the worst. Remember, seeds grow into trees. There's a multiplication effect. Sow in a way that when the tree blossoms, the tree will be fruitful. The seed grows into a tree. And here's my last point that I want to tell you about the principle of sowing and reaping. Number three, seeds take time to grow. Seeds take time to grow. I find it interesting that when Paul tells us in Galatians 6, verse 7, he tells us about the principle of sowing and reaping. And very shortly after, in verse 9, he says this. He says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I find this so interesting that in verse 7, Paul says, hey, don't be getting it wrong. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You can't fool God. A man will reap what he sows. And then very, very shortly after that, he says, but hey, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't get tired in doing good. Don't get frustrated with doing good. Why does Paul make it a point to tell us that? Because he knows that sowing doesn't yield instant results. Sowing doesn't yield instant results. You see, when you plant a seed, it doesn't grow into a tree overnight, does it? No. Seeds take time to grow. There's often a gap between what you sow and what you reap. There's a waiting period. You often don't see the results overnight. But it's true, isn't it? That sometimes in between the sowing and the reaping, we get tired, we get weary, we get tired of doing the next good thing all the time, sowing the right seeds all the time, staying the path, staying the course. We get tired of that. And there's another translation to this in the Bible where it says, don't lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Do not lose heart. And the Greek word that underpins that phrase is sin. So essentially what it's saying is, don't sin in your weariness of doing good. Don't sin when you get tired of doing good. Do you think that's what happened to Eve? Do you think she got tired of being responsible, of doing good,
of keeping on and on sowing the right seeds. I don't know how much time passed before the serpent came and had a conversation with Eve, but there was Eve sowing, doing the right thing over and over again, day in and day out. And suddenly the serpent comes to her and says, "Hey, Eve, you know when God told you not to eat the fruit? He only told you that because he doesn't want you to become like him. You can eat it. Don't worry. You will live." And there in that moment, Eve does something that's really dangerous. She doubted the goodness of God. She thought, is God holding out on me? Is God withholding something good from me? Am I missing out because God's not giving me something? She doubted the goodness of God. You see, here's the thing about sowing and reaping. How you sow and why you keep sowing will depend on what you believe about God. How you sow and why you keep sowing the right seeds will depend on what you believe about God. Do you believe that He is good? That as you sow, you will see a harvest? That as you keep sowing the right seeds, you will reap the reward that is promised? But isn't it true that we're also like Eve? Don't we get tired of doing good, of doing the same thing over and over again and not seeing something shift? Don't we get weary when we keep sowing the right seeds and we haven't seen anything move? Don't we also doubt the goodness of God when we've been sowing the right things and doing the right things and saying the right things and it still doesn't seem to move or change or shift? And we think, is God holding out on me? Maybe I can do it another way instead of God's way. And aren't we also sometimes tempted to sin in our weariness of doing good? But Paul, in verse 9, he comes to encourage us. He says, hey, don't give up. Don't get weary in doing good because God is good. And he will make sure that you reap a reward in due time. He will reap a reward even when it gets hard. Perhaps some of you ended 2019 in a place of weariness, in a place of tiredness, where you said, do you know what? I've been waiting for so long. I've been doing the right things. I've been sowing the right seeds. And I am now tired of waiting, of trusting, of believing in God, in the goodness of God. But I'm here to encourage you this morning that you can trust again in the goodness of God because God is good. We sang it this morning. His goodness, it runs after you. It pursues you. His goodness is coming for you in 2020. His goodness has not left you. His goodness is pursuing you. And King David knew this. In Psalm 23, he said, surely, I am sure that your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. In Psalm 100, it says, bless the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. In Psalm 34, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. In Psalm 27, he declares, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And this morning, this can be your declaration too. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep sowing. Keep planting. Be faithful. Live with integrity. Keep sowing grace. Keep sowing forgiveness. For at the right time, you will reap a harvest. God is good. And even when it looks like nothing is shifting or nothing is moving or nothing is changing, keep going. Keep doing the right thing. Keep sowing the right seeds. You will see a harvest. You will see the fruit of the seeds that you have planted. He's good. His mercy and his love, it endures forever and ever. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he will be the same tomorrow. But perhaps you're here this morning. And listen, maybe you've been a Christian for a really long time. And you say, well, actually, Sid, that's what I thought about sowing and reaping. That's what I thought. I thought that if you sowed the right seeds, then you would reap the right harvest. And that's what I've been doing all my life. I've sowed the right seeds. I've done the right things. But actually, I didn't reap the right harvest. Actually, I haven't seen the fruit of the seeds that I planted. I sowed orange seeds, but instead of oranges, I ended up with a turnip, and no one likes turnips. Perhaps you're here and you say, I took care of myself. I did all the right things. I ate all the right foods. I exercised every day. I was active. I was healthy. And actually, I still got sick. My grandma, she's 92 years old. Beryl, you've heard me talk about her before. She's been active her whole life, healthy her whole life, 92. She has more energy than I do on a good day. And just before we came back, we found out that she has a cancerous growth in her stomach. All her life, 92 years, for as long as I've been alive, she did everything the right way. Active, healthy, she sowed all the right seeds. And yet, for this woman who's been in perfect health for 92 years of her life, she now has a malignant growth in her stomach. What about that? Or perhaps for some of you, you say, well, I was generous. I sowed seeds of generosity. I gave in faith, even when it was hard. But I lost my job, and now I find myself in financial need. What about that? Or I sowed into my marriage. I sowed love and grace and faithfulness, and my spouse still left me. Where's sowing and reaping now? What about when you've sown and you've sown the right seeds and you've done the right things over and over again, and it seems like you don't reap the right rewards? It seems like you don't reap the right harvest. What about that? Where is sowing and reaping then? And the truth is, I don't have all the answers for you this morning. I don't know why my 92-year-old grandma, who's been in perfect health for all her life, suddenly has a cancerous growth in her stomach. I don't know. But I do know that sickness and disease and illness are not from God. I do know that when sin entered the world, when Adam and Eve sinned entered our world. And now our world is broken. It's not as God intended it to be. And there are forces at work that are not just God's. I also know that the principle of sowing and reaping, it does always work. Just not always in the way that we think. You see, sometimes it's true that when you sow, what you reap internally is often more than what you reap externally. Sometimes, when it seems like you haven't reaped at all, it's because you've only looked on the outside, but you haven't looked on the inside. Sometimes, what you reap internally is greater than what you see externally. I know that it's also true that sometimes you can reap in one area, you can sow in one area and you can reap in another area. That is also true. But here's what I know to be true above all else. I know that this is true, that in the end, God will make it all right. God will make it all right. If you're a Christian here this morning, you'll know that our lives on this earth are just temporary. They're just the here and now, but our lives continue on to eternity in heaven with God our Father. And God is good. He's taking everything that is broken, everything that is unjust, every inequity, everything that didn't work out, and He is redeeming and renewing and restoring it all, because that's the story of the Bible. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of God making it all right again. And so God is good. And if you don't see your harvest in this life, you will in the next. And if you're sat there and you're wondering, but Sid, how can you be sure? How can you be certain of that? I am certain of it. Because of grace. Because of grace. Listen to me. Why would a God who has made sure that we're already reaping what we haven't sown, why would he withhold from giving us the harvest of what we actually have sown? We are all reaping what we haven't sown. Right now in this life, we are all enjoying the fruit of what we haven't planted. We're all living in a harvest of things we haven't sown. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." You see, this is the most amazing verse in the whole Bible. And it's also the verse that tells us, it outlines the gospel. It outlines the truth, the core foundation of what we believe. That God in heaven, that he sent us, his one and only most precious, most beloved Son, to die on a cross so that you and I wouldn't have to. That every mistake, every iniquity, every failure, every injustice, every punishment, every forbidden fruit was placed on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And he paid the price and the penalty for sin so that you and I wouldn't have to. And now the Bible tells us that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our transgressions. He has removed our sin from us. We have been washed clean and we are children of the Most High God. Right now, right here, you and I, we are already reaping what we haven't sown. That is the definition of grace. When you get what you don't deserve, we're already reaping what we haven't sown. We got new life. We got freedom. We got victory. We got joy and strength and peace. We have the gift of eternal life, salvation at no cost to ourselves because he bore all the cost. We are already reaping what we haven't sown. The cross is a reminder that even though we reaped sin, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, what we reaped was grace. The cross is an everlasting reminder to us that though we reaped sin through Jesus, though we sowed sin through Jesus Christ, what we reaped is grace. We are already living in everything that we haven't sown and yet have received as the greatest gift, as the greatest blessing from God. And because of this grace, because of this everlasting, unyielding, unrelenting grace, at the start of 2020, you and I, we can change the trajectory of our lives this morning. We can change the future, the course of where our lives are heading. If you're here this morning, and if there are areas where you say, you know what, Sid, I haven't sown the right way. I didn't put the right seeds in. I want to tell you this morning that it's never too late to start. It's never too late to start sowing the right seeds. Grace means that we get another chance and another one and another one and another one after that. Because of the grace of the cross of Jesus Christ, your future can be different to your past. And so this morning, my challenge to you, my encouragement to you, as you start another year, as you start another decade, make a choice, make a decision that you're going to sow different seeds today. Perhaps in your marriage, perhaps in your finances, perhaps in your health, perhaps in your relationship with your children, your relationship with your parents, at your job, at your school, you start sowing different seeds so that when you look back over your life, you realize that you've reaped a different harvest. I'd like you to stand to your feet all across this room. And in just a few moments, I'm going to give us all a chance to respond. You see, it's really important for us not to just hear messages, but to actually make decisions, to make resolutions that make an impact in our lives, not just today, but in the years to come. And if that's you, and as we've been speaking, if the Holy Spirit has stirred something up inside of you, where you think, actually, in this area, I'm going to make a choice, I'm going to make a decision today that I'm going to start sowing differently. I'm going to make a choice that I'm going to change the trajectory of where this is headed in my life. All these years, it might have been like this, but from today, I'm going to believe that as I start sowing, the grace of God is going to multiply that and it's going to be different from today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.